Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
When asked about picking up the option on Mitch Trubisky during an appearance on NFL Live, Matt Nagy said, quote, "It's sequential for us, so that's something that can happen here in a few months." Is that a different answer than the one Ryan Pace gave? If something can happen, is it fair to wonder if it cannot happen? And how would the previously coddled Trubisky react to a prove-it year?
Well, it's sequential. I can't answer this question until I think through several other questions. Look, it is a interesting answer because what he's saying by saying it's sequential. Now, I think the joker in the pack is everything that's going on with teams and understanding what the cap is going to be and understanding what the labor situation is. You know, teams, the NFL moved back the franchise tag by 2 days. And I didn't see anyone franchised yesterday. I don't think they were. I think a team like the Dallas Cowboys were talking about franchising their quarterback and maybe putting a transition tag on the wide receiver. But that is going to go away, the two-tag thing. There'll just be one tag in the new CBA, which is expected to pass. So things are going to change a little bit, so I can understand why you would be sequential. But the idea that can happen in 3 months, as opposed to it could happen right now. I mean, they are entitled to pick that up immediately, but they can wait until the time period is close to ending to make a decision. When they did it with Leonard Floyd, they did it immediately, right? And when they didn't do it with Kyle Fuller immediately, they ended up not doing it. So I don't know if this is a hint that they haven't done it immediately. And as I said, with the labor uncertainty, maybe things change a little bit and they'll have more money and they're trying to be sequential about it. First we do this, then we go to free agency, and then we make a decision on that. I think it would be fascinating to see Mitch on a prove-it year. I think it would be really interesting because they've done everything they can to avoid any sort of pressure on the kid. And maybe that's all that he needs. Maybe he'd be better if he did have a little bit of pressure on him, if he did understand that he had to perform well or he was going to lose his job. So I don't know that that's the case with Mitch, because this is not a story about a guy who's lazy in his work ethic. It's a story about a guy that isn't the player that they thought he was going to be. And they keep trying to sell you on patience and the idea that it is going to take time. And you got to, normally we know by now with a quarterback, normally you would have a pretty good idea of what the player is. And if you were going one way or another, you would say probably not going to be the franchise quarterback they expected. So I think this is an indication that perhaps they're not doing it.
Pressure doesn't bring out the best in Mitch Trubisky. Pressure brings out overthrows and worm burners. I mean, he isn't a quarterback that's reacted well to anxiety. How would he handle a prove-it year? Not sure. I'm not sure he's going to be in that situation. Look, I think what Matt Nagy said yesterday was consistent with what Ryan Pace said. They're buying time. That's all they're doing. And I think that they're buying time because they don't know yet, number one, what the CBA is going to allow in regard to the Trubisky contract commitment. But also, I've seen estimates between 5 million. And yesterday, Brad Biggs said $20 million in terms of how much the cap will expand under the new CBA. If they get as much as $20 million more cap space under the CBA, it's going to change their approach to what quarterback they might be able to think they can fit in or pursue. Look, two different national outlets yesterday, ESPN.com and NFL.com, reported that the Bears were strongly considering or a strong sense that they're going to add and establish a veteran quarterback to either challenge or replace Trubisky. There's a lot of smoke there. There's a lot of agents in Indy. There's going to be a lot of conversation about what the Bears are doing, who they're talking to. So I'm not sure they know yet. There's that everything is everyone in the NFL is waiting for the first quarterback domino to fall. Tom Brady apparently is meeting with teams in Indianapolis, not the Bears. I'm not saying the Bears. 670score.com has an interesting column by Dan Bernstein if you want to entertain that idea about the Bears and Tom Brady. I'm not going to kind of push that. But if he goes with the Chargers, if he goes with the Colts, it's going to start the domino effect. And I think the Bears will be there to weigh their options. So what happened yesterday was Matt Nagy buying more time because they have to weigh their options. One of them being moving on from Trubisky. One of them being committing to him with the fifth-year option.
Yeah, they're not going to come out and say we've lost belief in Mitch, or you know, Mitch may be our starter and we may bring in somebody. I think all of the smoke signals they're giving off are telling you exactly what's happening here. If this were a no-brainer, we're picking up his option, they would have said so months ago. And we know, I mean, listen, we know they plan this stuff years in advance. You know, they have their boards and they have their free agency clocks and all this other stuff in terms of how they plan out their personnel, how they plan out the roster. Maybe we might want to extend this guy. Maybe we might want to do this with this guy. They've thought through all of the different options with Mitch Trubisky. I think what this is them not coming out and saying, we don't know if Mitch is our starter. So at this point, he's the only quarterback on the roster. They haven't done anything. They haven't drafted anyone. And we know Ryan Pace likes to surprise us during the draft with trades or whatever. So I think what this is exactly that. It's kick the can down the road. It's don't say anything to either upset Mitch or to show our hand one way or the other. But I do think, and I agree with, and I would love to see Trubisky on a prove-it year. In other words, you know, Mitch, let's see what you do this year, and if it doesn't work out, well, then we'll part ways. I would love to see that.
You'd love to see that? I wouldn't love to see Mitch Trubisky in a Bears uniform ever again if I had my way, but, you know, sometimes your indecisiveness can be decisive, and the fact that they have waffled so long on this and failed to commit to Trubisky in the fifth year, listen, if they wanted to extend him, if they really, really thought, if you believe Ryan Pace was honest and has been honest that they believe Mitch is the guy and he's going to develop into this great quarterback, if they really thought that, they would have already picked up this option. And the fact that they are waffling about it and they're not really giving straight answers, it just proves that I think that they don't think he's the guy. And they're under a little bit of a financial strain. They're in a bit of a pickle with the salary cap right now and the options that are out there. Maybe they aren't that into, you know, Phillip Rivers or Derek Carr or Case Keenum or Mariota, whomever is out there available at quarterback right now. Maybe they're not enamored on them either, you know, to the point where they're going to give them a lot of money, where they have to divvy up the money elsewhere on the team to address different needs. So I don't think it's going to make a difference if Mitch is in a prove-it year or he's betting on himself or if the team is betting on him or however you want to frame it. I think you know by now, and I think they probably know. It's just that their hands are a little bit tied right now, and he might actually be, in their mind, the best option for next season, but after that, they might be looking elsewhere.
The Bears are in an advantage here because they don't have to do anything right this second, but Kevin's right. If they were in love with him, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. What is going to be interesting, and at first it was like, oh, you know, would a quarterback that could start in the NFL really come to Chicago knowing that he's here to back up Mitch? But if you start going through the starting quarterbacks, and there is going to be a little bit of a carousel, right, of changing guys are, there are starting quarterbacks that are going to change locations this year, at least three or four, I think.
It's the biggest story at the combine.
Right. We'll have started last season. They started for one team.
Right.
Next season, but there's not a lot of room for second-tier quarterbacks to become starters in this league. So the reshuffling of the backups will be interesting. And I think Andy Dalton is actually a legitimate... That could happen, and that would make sense to me. I could see that happening. It's going to be very interesting. What's the date? May the 5th?
I think May 3rd.
May the 3rd? I mean, that's a day to mark on your calendars, Bears fans.
Are you saying that, and I mean this sincerely, are you saying that the guys that aren't assured a starting job could prefer Chicago over other stops because
yes,
the idea is there's an availability?
There is actually an opportunity to supplant the proposed starter with your play.
Yeah, because they're not caught up on week one.
You're still going to make good money, right? Yeah. You're still going to make good money.
Right.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question.
Do you agree with Ohio State defensive end Chase Young, who called himself the best player in the draft? Can he have a Nick Bosa-style impact? What do you make of Ron Rivera and the Skins meeting with Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa? Due diligence or a smokescreen?
Well, I think Chase Young can become the best player in the draft. I don't know that he will be. He certainly has every right to say that, and I think the Redskins would be wise to believe that because they're not going to get Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow could be the best player. Tua could be the best player. Those three are a safe bet that one of those three is going to emerge as the best player in this draft, and I think that's why they're going to go 1, 2, and 3. What Ron Rivera said was very careful and also very smart because you don't want to put all – you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 weeks or so. You don't know what's going to, you know, come out of maybe a medical. So you got to keep your options open. It is due diligence. I'm not sure he's trying to fool anybody. I do wonder where they stand on Dwayne Haskins. You've heard him say some very nice things about Dwayne Haskins. But if they get the medicals and it looks like he's a guy that you can trust with that hip and with the recovery, be hard to pass. I mean, even though Chase Young is there and he fits everything about, you know, you're running the 4-3 and you're going to be defensive-minded head coach and all those things, Tua being compared to Russell Wilson and all these things that he has in his charisma, it'd be very hard to pass on Tua knowing what he could become, even though I think that the safe route is probably going Chase Young, which is probably the direction the Redskins will go.
Well, it's what you just described is exactly what happened with Arizona last year, right? They had a quarterback, had drafted a starter, and yet they had a chance at Kyler Murray. And you could argue all day about it, but it seems like that was the right thing. What they did was actually the right thing to do.
The way he played.
For their organization. I think people are afraid of Tua. I think that the fear with him is that the number of – it doesn't matter how good he is. It's how long he'll be able to play. Do you go into it and project that you'll only get 5 years out of his career because of the number of injuries that he's had, and does that scare you and prevent you from moving up? But I think what they're doing in Washington, what Chico is doing, and it's the right thing to do, is understanding that that you've got a pick that is of very high value. If somebody wants to move up for a quarterback, you could swap that pick out and maybe still wind up with Chase Young. I think Chase Young is right now the best player in the draft. I think he was as good a player as you saw in college football last year. I think that he could have a Nick Bosa-style performance, and they do have a pretty decent guy opposite him in Washington, and that could change their line, and that could be a big jump for them if Dwayne Haskins is the guy. And Haskins at one point did beat out Joe Burrow, right? That's why Joe Burrow transferred. So I think there's it's kind of amusing to look at it that way. But if you're drafting, it's a quarterback league. So you're not looking for the best player that you can get. You're not looking for a guy that could end his career in a yellow jacket. You're looking for the best quarterback you can get if you're sitting at the top of a draft. That's just the reality of the importance of that position in the NFL. So if you get an opportunity to make a deal here and to pick up, we know what the price is for people trading up for a quarterback. It could be a phenomenal deal for them. So I would say that that is something to consider. Chico's doing the right thing. They're doing their due diligence, but they're also doing their smokescreen. And I think they're going to wind up with Chase Young, but it would be wise to see if you could get somebody to trade up.
Can you imagine if the Bears were sitting at two right now and they had this Tua versus Chase Young conversation? Could you imagine? Our phone lines would be filled 24 hours a day, I think, with people wanting to talk.
Is there
about
anyone
this.
That wouldn't want the quarterback, though? I mean,
no,
that's the problem.
Everyone would want the quarterback.
Everyone would want the quarterback. And that's where my mind went with this question is, so what if Tua is Kyler Murray? Do you not take him at two? I mean, don't you have to take him at two in the quarterback league? As great as Chase Young was last year for Ohio State, and as much as Ron Rivera might want the stud defensive end, if Tua is healthy, I mean, and I'm not worried, me personally, about the long-term effect of the injuries. I think if the hip is okay, I'm good, and I know what kind of player Tua is. Don't you have to take him? Doesn't someone have to take him at two in this league in this day and age? That's where my mind goes.
And or else Ron Rivera risks hearing what Ryan Pace has heard for the last 3 years.
Exactly. And that's why I think that Ron Rivera did an excellent job yesterday. If nothing else, you work that to maybe get a trade where you still wind up with Young and you get some extra draft assets. If that's your plan, then that's your plan, and let's see what wheeling and dealing you could do. And maybe you are serious about taking Tua. Who knows? But, you know, the jury is still out on Haskins. He was a stud also at Ohio State, but a fascinating little tweak here in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think Chase Young probably is the best player in the draft. You know, it's hard to compare a pass rusher to a quarterback. It's hard to compare different positions, especially in football, but I think objectively I would call Chase Young the most sure bet in the draft. I mean, he's an absolute monster, and he can have a Nick Bosa-style impact, I think. As far as Rivera and Washington, Mully, you brought up the Cardinals with what they did. They took a quarterback 10 overall, and then they took a quarterback number one overall the very next year because they changed the coach. It's as simple as that. Maybe Ron Rivera doesn't think much of Dwayne Haskins. And I know Washington is just a really cursed franchise, and they haven't had a good quarterback like ever as far as I can remember, and maybe that's not that far back. But I think it's absolutely a possibility that they take Tua. And as good as Chase Young will probably be, quarterback still is the most important position. They have a new regime in there. And if Ron Rivera feels that Tua can be the guy, you know, injury concerns aside, I would not be surprised at all to see him end up in Washington.
I think Chase Young is probably the most equipped to start on day one of next season for an NFL team. That's for sure. Will he be the best in his total career? To be determined. But right now, he is absolutely the most ready to step onto that field. The quarterback thing is very interesting, and to the point of the last question, if the Redskins were to get that the Alabama quarterback, now all of a sudden the former Ohio State quarterback, just doing a little college football rivalry thing, right? Now he's probably available, right? I mean, Dwayne Haskins can be had for a trade.
Just like Josh Rosen was.
And it probably would be a draft day trade, right?
Oh.
All of a sudden, he's available.
Are you saying?
I'm just putting it out.
Ryan Pace online too.
Look out!
It's just another name, another arm, another body in this quarterback pool that the Bears are going to be swimming in.
Price would be high.
I don't quite get the question.
YouTube TV announced on Thursday it was dropping all Fox Regional Sports Networks and the YES Network this Saturday after failing to reach a carriage deal with Sinclair Broadcasting, the Cubs partner in the Marquee Network. Does that effectively end the dream of Marquee on YouTube TV? And is it possible the Marquee issue with YouTube TV and Comcast is actually a Sinclair problem?
Yeah, I think if you're a YouTube TV guy, you're going to have to make a change to watch the Cubs. I don't think there's any doubting that right now. We'll find out if that changes here, if that's just a ploy in negotiation. But it sounds like there's a major problem with Sinclair. Maybe there's a major problem with Comcast and Sinclair, too. You know, I don't know. Inside these negotiations, we've tried to reach out. We've tried to get someone to tell us what's happening, but it was declined, and that's fair. You don't want to negotiate in the media. That's fine. But I would think that there is a problem with Sinclair. If everything we're reading here is accurate, they've got some issues, and their money making is being affected by all of this. And it seems like it might be an industry issue. Maybe they jumped into procuring local sports stations at the wrong time, and maybe the Cubs. But their deal with Sinclair is done, right? So they get their $132 million, according to that story. That's pretty extraordinary to get that kind of increase. So I understand that that when we look at these things, we don't think about the partnerships. We think instead about just the Cubs, and it's the Cubs station. The Cubs are running it, but it's Sinclair that is doing the negotiating here. And if they've got a problem with Comcast, with YouTube TV, then that's going to be a problem for the marquee network.
YouTube was pretty clear in that statement about the rising cost of sports content. And so they're walking away, and it was a surprise decision. But I do think that's going to be – it sounded like more than a negotiating ploy, as some people might have framed it. It sounded like a pretty thoughtful decision, and one that maybe they're going to stick to. It bears repeating that Sinclair cannot ignore that since they – agreed to buy 21 regional sports networks last May, that they those shares have lost half their value. That's something that is affecting this whole equation and can't be ignored. So how does that affect the Cubs and Comcast? Well, we'll see, because they continue to be far apart from what we can tell. Nobody seems to be worried, because you still have, March 26th to opening day. About a month, but 4 weeks from yesterday, I believe it was.
Yep.
And Crane Kenny probably is a little more concerned than he sounded yesterday on the air. He sounded very smooth, very much in command, and not that concerned about what's going on here. But as you point out, they have $100 million at stake here when you have talk about 1.58 million subscribers to Comcast in the Chicagoland area. It's by far the largest provider. That's a lot of money for a team that is being paid $132 million in rights fees from Marquee and from Sinclair. So there's a lot at stake here. Not sure where this is headed, but the YouTube TV, if you have YouTube TV, then you better figure out an alternative if you want to watch the Cubs and Cubs content.
Yeah, this seems to me like a corporate decision that the brass at YouTube TV said, you know what, they make a ton of money on ads and all their other various things that they do. It sounds to me like they said, you know what, this is just not a good moneymaker for us, and we're not going to bother, and we're not going to pay for this sports content. And I'm sure they had their people crunch the numbers as to how this affects their the subscriber base and the people that use it. I will say this too, as a UVerse subscriber, I am personally glad that I have it, because I've already watched some of it and I thoroughly have enjoyed
it's
watching.
It's good.
It's
yeah,
great. The Ernie Banks doc, yeah, the first day was great. I love watching the games. It's been everything that, as a Cubs fan, I had hoped it would be. Having said that, previous to this, I had Dish, which does not carry, and that is their thing. They do not pay extra for the sports content. And you know what? I don't know if it would be worth my time if I had one of the non-carriers to say, you know what? Man, I love the Cubs, but I'm going to upend my entire home entertainment program for this. I don't know. That I guess is the crux of this, isn't it? Is all those Comcast subscribers, because the longer this goes on, I think the more you get used to not having it, and whether it's just spring training or not, eventually you move on to something else, whether it's a different baseball game or a different sporting event or just non-sports to begin with, right? So that's the interesting thing here, and it's obviously a ton of money. So it will be fascinating to see how this plays out.
Definitely does not look like the Marquee Network will be on YouTube TV. I think you can probably shelve that for the time being. As far as the Comcast and Marquee negotiations, I'm not in the room with them. I don't know what the number is, what the difference is, why they're so far apart on this, why it's taking so long. I'm sure both sides, they want to make the best deal possible for them. I don't think either one of them, and don't have any delusions about it. I don't think that Comcast cares about the fans one bit, and I don't think that the Marquee Network executives really give a damn about the fans either. It's just about making the best deal for themselves, and it's about not getting hosed financially. It's really all it's about. If it was about the fans, the deal would have been done a year ago, and they have more than enough money to be able to take that bullet if it was really about the fans and wanting to get this network out to every Cub fan out there that wants to watch every game in this famous Ernie Banks documentary that I've heard so much about that I still have not been able to see because I don't have the network, and it doesn't look I'm going to be able to get the network anytime soon with Comcast and Xfinity. But like
you just get the Amazon Fire Stick, Kevbo.
Yeah,
you just hook it up. And
what are you hooked into? What do you have? What do you have?
Comcast.
Cable? Oh, you okay? Yeah. I thought you would cut cords. No, you're not.
Well, I can log in to a certain Comcast account and watch TV through my laptop and then Chromecast it onto my television.
And there's this Fire Stick.
It's perfectly level. It's legal.
On your Fire Stick.
It's totally fine.
Come on, Espo.
I understand everybody's passion, the listeners, the texters, even everybody on this panel's passion about it. But I have to be honest, I'm getting fatigued over it. I mean, if your source of your television is YouTube TV, I'm just guessing. I'm going to go stereotyping. You're not a sports person, okay? That's just, you
that's
shake
true.
Your head all you want.
No, I'm just saying, that is stereotyping.
It is, yes. I said it is.
Okay. What is even the correlation there? Because you watch YouTube TV, you don't like sports?
Yes, in my opinion, yes.
Connor is the host of the Midday Show. He's a YouTube TV subscriber.
Okay. And he's also Mr. Analytics. Okay. I'm not going down that path. That's fine. Okay. I just like to know what sports he gets to watch on YouTube TV. Because I'm guaranteeing it's not all the sports I get to watch on UVerse. Okay. It's not. And you have a choice. This is getting to be like the 2+2 is. You have a choice. You have two choices right now. Two legitimate choices right now. One of them works day. One of them work day one. One of them, if I go home right now, it works. It's called AT&T UVerse. It works. It's 1740 in the HD level. Okay. Yesterday after the show, I was the one on the phone. We called UVerse AT&T. It is available on the U200 level package that costs $102 a month. Okay, plus you have to have internet. But it's $102 a month. That's how much it is on UVerse. My bill has not gone up $1. I don't have a special sports package. It's the same dollar amount I was paying 6 months ago. $102 a month for UVerse 200. And if you change now, I would guess you're going to get a better price.
Mm-hmm.
So stop it.
You have to counter this for a second. Number one, it's not as easy to get out of these contracts. And number two, YouTube.
We keep saying that.
YouTube Live.
Somebody tell me how you called Comcast and tried to get out of your contract and you can't. Tell us about that.
I've tried to do that before when we had issues with the service. But anyway, YouTube TV also was the sponsor of the NBA Finals and carries live streaming of all of the sports, NBA, NFL, NCAA, MLB, NHL, MLS. I'm done.
Wow, very tough question. Very, very hard.
Are you digging the vibe coming out of spring training for the White Sox, or would you prefer they start winning before getting their swag on? And how about that comeback win over Seattle yesterday? Is it true that Ricky's boys do not quit?
I didn't know Spiegel was submitting questions today.
That's right, babe.
I think Joe Madden added that one.
Yeah.
Come on, dudes.
I'm digging that vibe out of Camelback. You got to like everything you see about the White Sox. I don't care about the score. I think we've established that spring training games don't matter in terms of results and one-loss records. You'd like to see things. You like to see trends. You like to see traits. So everything that you see and hear out of White Sox camp is encouraging. Two things concerning you. The mental health, the emotional health of this team is intact. I love the bat flip mentality. I love Tim Anderson being that guy every day. They will miss Yolmer a little bit. I think that's going to be something that is more intangible than tangible. There'll be enough tangibles to make up for the loss of the intangible. Physically, that is where you worry about staying healthy. Already, you sort of like, oh no, an Encarnacion scratch with a stiff back, was it? You start to think, okay. And you see, you know, earlier in the camp, the guys reported with Gio needing an extra day for his sore shoulder. You can't get injured if they stay healthy. Physically, I like where they are mentally. So this is a team, there is a good vibe coming out of Camelback Mountain.
Yeah, Camelback Ranch, Mountain, wherever.
Ranch.
I'm all for it. You know how I feel about it. I'm totally digging that vibe, and I like everything I'm seeing. And Ricky's boys don't quit. I love they came back in that game. I watched some of that game on my device, and unfortunately, I was nodding off as I was trying to watch it because I don't know how to sit and what to do with the thing and where to prop it up and. God, it just is exhausting. Anyway, I'm all for it.
Switch to you
all
first.
Over
YouTube
it.
TV.
Yeah, there you go. And I am. I'm digging every bit of it. This is a chicken and egg question. Do you start acting like a winner before you win in order to win? Or are you supposed to try to be humble and hold on to your water until you start winning and then you act like, hey, I know what I'm doing? I like the vibe. I think it's great. I think that they're heading good places.
Yep, I love it. And I think, yeah, to what you said, Molly, I think, you know, these guys individually, I think a lot of them are winners or have been winners, certainly in their lower level minor league careers and in their past. They're high picks, they're big free agents. And that's why I think the Dallas Keuchel, the Grandal, the signings that they made in the offseason, the veteran free agent presences to bring in, even Gio Gonzalez, who you might not have made a big deal about, but that's a guy who's been around the block. He's been on winning teams. He's going to be a key contributor. This is coming from a lifelong Cubs fan. I love what the Sox have done. I'm excited to see what they do this season. And I'll be gladly flipping back and forth between both games on my UVerse TV because we have Marquee Sports Network. Isn't that wonderful?
Some of us do. Muhammad Ali once said that humble people don't get very far, and he's right about that. If you're good at something, you should let people know that you're good about it, whether that's talking or vibing or playing well or whatever field that you're in. What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to, you know, go to work with their briefcases and their hard hat and their lunch pail and punch the clock and sit in line and don't do anything until they start to win 100 games a year? No, that's not how it works. You have to believe in yourself. You have to have that confidence before any of it starts. That's the first thing, is being able to know that you're good at something and then be able to excel at it after that. So absolutely digging all of the vibes, positive vibes only, out of Camelback Ranch. Let's go.
Well, listen, specifically yesterday, you had to like the lineup, okay? That was a almost opening day starting lineup as far as the batting order went. And I'm sure that they don't want McCann, no disrespect to him, in that lineup, but I don't think he'll be the starter on opening day behind the plate. But otherwise, that was probably what it's going to look like on the 26th of March over 35th and Shields. If that's what it takes, fine. But on the 26th of March over 35th and Shields, we're going to start seeing if it works. Okay, you know, Tim Anderson in his YouTube, another YouTuber, right? Him and his YouTube bat throwing channel. Okay, let's see if it works. If it works for him, if he hits 320 and hits 25 home runs out of the leadoff role and is in the conversation for AL MVP and another batting title, and it helped because he was on YouTube TV, then God bless him.
YouTube TV has dropped Tim Anderson too.
I just want to let everybody know, I can also watch old Bulls highlights on YouTube off the internet. I don't have to have YouTube TV to do that. Thank you, though.
You are a special man.
You can't beat that question. You can try, but you can't beat that question.
Is Coby White the most promising young athlete in Chicago sports? And if not, whose future looks more certain?
Come on. We just talked about it. Aren't you digging the vibe? For the love of God. I love Coby White. I think he's great. I love the idea that he's got a future and all the rest of it. But Louis Robert hit another double yesterday. He's going to be a guy to keep an eye on. Does no one remember what Aloy did a year ago? 31 homers, and he's on. He's going to do better than that. Yoan Moncada is going to be an MVP. Okay, that's a done deal. They got tons of guys. I could sit here and rattle off the young players on the White Sox that are going to be guys to keep an eye on and to watch. Coby, fantastic. Really happy that he's done well. Get him in the starting lineup. Let's see what he can do. But come on, we just talked about the young team in town.
Three straight 30-point games, pretty good history to make. Pretty promising future for Coby White, but Louis Robert's been compared to Mike Trout. I think that's a bit overstated, but he needs to stay healthy. He needs to produce. I think that's the only difference, is that we've seen Coby White do something his rookie year.
He didn't make the All-Star or International game or whatever.
I know
the hell
he
did.
The Rising Stars game. That's the what Rising Stars game. I'm sorry. I won't say anything nice about Coby White.
No, I love the guy.
Ever again. White Sox, White Sox, White Sox.
Let me ask something, and I'm serious. We don't talk enough about the NBA. If you see what's going on in Boston, does making an All-Star game trigger a guy? If Zach LaVine had made an All-Star game, would he be doing the stuff that Tatum is doing
No.
right now?
No.
Just making sure.
No, I'm a hard no on that, and Tatum is a stud. Number one on this, and I know this is just a random thing, newspaper guys like you guys will appreciate this. I read this and I see the spelling of Kobe as Kobe Bryant and not as Kobe White, C-O-B-Y. It's K-O-B-E. That's number one about this question that just drives me up a wall. But number two, and I went to the White Sox immediately, but neither of you guys said Eloy Jimenez. That's the guy that my brain immediately went to, that Eloy Jimenez is a guy who could be a 40-plus home run guy this year. And as much as I enjoyed watching Kobe White over the past week and a half, whatever it's been, I would still say Eloy Jimenez.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on your definition of a young athlete. To me, guys that are 24, 25 are still young athletes and have years to get better and better going forward. Lucas Giolito's 25. Yoan Moncada's 24. You know, Eloy is, what, 22? Louis Robert, you can go down the line of all of these young White Sox studs that they have, and I would take any one of those over Kobe White, no disrespect, but, you know, somebody's got to score on that team, right? Other than Zach, he can't put up 40 every game.
There's, you know, what's nice in Chicago right now is there are a lot of young, good guys. Unfortunately, you know where there's not a lot of young, good guys? You know, the team that we haven't talked
the
about
score.
At all?
Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Cubs.
No, that's Nico Horner. What do you mean?
He's not in the same class.
Bears.
First of all, I hope Louis Robert, and that's all I'm going to say his name, okay? Louis Robert, until Louis Robert tells me to say it, Louis Robert, until he's rolling my R's, okay? He's Louis Robert to me. I'm going to gringoize it, okay? He hasn't played yet in the big leagues. I think he's going to be really good, but at least Horner has, Horner, the first pitch the kid ever saw in Major League Baseball, he put it out of the park.
Homer.
Okay? Listen, Moncada is going to be, I agree with Mully. Moncada is probably going to win an MVP in the American League. Eloy is probably the answer based on the small sample size from last year. But we got to, with all due respect to Louis Robert, we got to tap the brakes a little bit. And for you to roll your eyes on Horner, I mean, but the problem is the Bears. The Bears have nobody.
Roquan.
I would have said Roquan until last
Roquan
year.
Roquan Smith.
Right, I would have said Roquan if it was a year ago.
I got to see another year.
I agree.
I got to see 16 games put together. Yeah. I would have agreed with you.
Exactly.
But last year, not a great year. Not a great year on and off the field for Roquan Smith.
It's true.
I get what you're driving at.
I like Nico Horner.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. I like Nico Horner, too. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.